Joining us today is J.R. Samples. J.R. is the founder of Sales Baseline. He's the Chief Encouragement Officer at Accountability Partners, and he has over three decades of business experience ranging from Fortune 500 executive positions to growing his own business from $3 million to $25 million. So he is familiar with both high-level corporate strategic planning and also with the day-to-day challenges we face as entrepreneurs. In the course of his career, JR has launched products, trained and led multi-million dollar sales teams, bought and sold companies, joined an organization and tripled its revenue, then joined another and quadrupled those. JR is a Six Sigma Yellow Belt and received his business degree from Olivet Nazarene University, as well as an honorary diploma from the School of Hard Knocks. And on the personal side, he's a certified scuba diver, a seasoned backpacker, motorcyclist, and here's an interesting one that maybe we'll get a chance to go into at another time. He has fallen over the edge of the Grand Canyon and lived to tell about it. One thing that will become clear in this interview is that JR has a passion for helping other business people to succeed. And the title of today's episode is Why Your Sales Suck. Hint, it's not necessarily just your sales force. Welcome and thanks for joining us today, JR.
Well, thanks, Tom. It's a privilege to be with you.
And tell me just a little bit about the beginnings of Accountability Partners.
I founded Accountability Partners after my last 10-year stint with a Fortune 500 company, which I had joined when we sold our firm in 97, and learned a lot about things from a corporate standpoint that were a nuance to me. And so in 2005, as much as I enjoyed it, it had lost its luster. And so having spent 10, 15 years as an owner of my own technology companies, professional services companies, I had learned a lot about growing organically, growing through organizations, and also growing from a corporate standpoint. And I really wanted to be able to help larger organizations become more entrepreneurial and fast-moving, wanted to help small, medium business put in processes and systems that would also help them become more scalable and sustainable and grow in a predictable fashion. And so that was really the founding of Accountability Partners and growing organizations through developing people.
And what compelled you to launch the baseline assessment?
What I found was that there were a lot of assessments, if you will, that would tell you how good a salesperson Tom is or JR and where their gaps were. But I didn't find anything to my satisfaction that helped assess how good a sales organization Tom or JR had to leverage our sales skills. And, you know, I'm a firm believer, as being in sales for some 30 years, but not what I would call myself a natural salesperson, but one who really learned it as a profession and as a science, that organizationally, I think we have the opportunity of taking B and C players and organizationally turning them into A players, and taking our A players and, you know, getting them to a place where they can consistently knock it out of the park. So I was looking for something that helped companies who really wanted to take a hard and honest look at themselves have a objective method of assessing their sales organization. And I use sales in a very broad term because that also includes marketing under that as well.
Well, what keeps us from, so when you talk about not just an assessment of the skill of the individual players, what keeps us, if we develop the skills, from getting to the next level?
Well, I think organizationally, when we can bring the team together and get the team aligned so that we're on the same page, we're all seeing the same things, that can be a very powerful situation. And unfortunately, I consistently find teams are not nearly as aligned as they would like to think that they are.
Can you give us a few examples, JR, to help us to see what you mean when you say that often sales organizations aren't as aligned as they think they are?
Well, the truth of the matter is, you know, when I talk with, you know, an executive, I'll say, Sally, you know, how aligned is your team? And Sally typically gives me one of two answers. She'll tell me, you know, JR, I honestly don't know. Or she'll say, oh, JR, we're completely aligned, marching in the same direction, paddling in the same, you know, direction. And I say, Sally, that's great. I don't often hear that. Tell me what your objective data is that you're aligned as well as you say. And typically there's one of two responses. One is it's silent for a period of time that becomes uncomfortable enough that Sally will tell me that it's a gut feeling. Or the other situation is they'll say, hey, JR, I'm fully engaged with my teams. I'm talking to them all the time. You know, I know what people are thinking. I know what people are feeling about the organization. You know, that's how I know we're aligned. To which, you know, the honest situation is, Sally, do you ever speak to anyone in a tone of voice that might project the answer you want? Do you talk to people the same way, you know, on the 11th of the month after you got the P&L? Are you able to talk to people the same way, you know, based upon all of the variables that are happening in business every day? And the honest answer is not. So even though Sally is engaged as she should be, and that's a tremendous benefit, the truth is we don't always know what people are thinking. And you know, a comical way of looking at that is I will ask Sally, is, you know, when's the last time you went in your office, closed the door, you know, sat in your chair, shook your head and just said, you know, what are these people thinking? And most of the time, you know, people laugh and say, well, I do that multiple times a day. And the truth is that we really don't know what people are thinking. And at least half the time they'll tell us what they think we want to hear. And it can be really hard for an executive to get an honest assessment of what the teams are thinking out there.
And so that's where the baseline comes in. Can you tell me a little bit about how it's structured and what the output is?
It is, again, it is structured over organizational issues, marketing initiatives, marketing planning, prospecting and qualification, sales process, compensation, training. These are all the things that these are the categories that we're assessing. And one of the critical pieces on the alignment is, and this is where nobody should be surprised that they're not aligned, the key difference, Tom, is that we're able to identify for people where they are aligned objectively, but also where they're not aligned. And the way we go about that is from a priority standpoint, we have people, as they finish the assessment, they prioritize most important to least important. And that's very critical. It's not a 1 to 10 scale, because too often when you're given the choice to say, you know, how important is prospecting, and you say, well, that's a 9, and how important is marketing, and that's a 9, and how important is sales process, well, that's a 9, how important is compensation, that's a 10, all of a sudden you don't get a clear delineation as to where to start. But when I force you to say prospecting is more important than marketing, is more important than compensation, is more important than sales team effectiveness, now then I start really getting to see what people think are clearly important and clearly less important. And that's really where we give executives a clear alignment to what people are thinking.
So this gives us a great foundation for a more shared understanding of what the priorities are, and gives an opportunity to get input from all the players and not just start a new initiative based on a gut feeling. Is that accurate?
Correct. And here's the reality is, and why people aren't naturally aligned, is that the executive level, they're looking typically 6 to 18 months out. You know, the frontline managers are looking 30 days to 90 days. They're more monthly, quarterly, and the sales force itself is, you know, can be daily, weekly, monthly focused. So when you have teams of people with these different levels of focus, it's not uncommon to get out of alignment. And what the baseline does is allows you, you know, once or twice a year to take everybody's temperature as to, you know, what's working, what's not working, what's important and what's not important. And it gives you that data in an exceedingly objective, very fast process. I mean, we produce these results, you know, in days, you know, days, you know, not weeks, not months, that you have to wait for a consultant to come in and assess everything and write up a big report, at which point it's outdated. We're able to move very quickly, give people responses that are immediate, that allow them to either validate, you know, where they are in their sales execution or make adjustments as necessary. Recalibrate, I like to say.
Uh-huh. Is having the team take it more than once, is that a common experience?
You typically do it 6 to 9 months, because in a lot of organizations you do have an influx of new people and you have dynamics happening in the market. So certainly no less than once a year, but in many cases it's always a good thing to ask people's opinion. I've never had a situation where there weren't many aha moments that came out of this that simply were prompted, you know, through the discipline of doing the assessment.
Yeah, you mentioned new people, which reminded me of turnover in a sales force. Can this instrument help with retention?
Oh, you know, without question, because I do believe that in I've been in sales for 30 years as a direct contributor, as a manager, as an owner and third level sales manager. In my experience is, if people know, if the frontline salespeople know that the executives have an honest view of what they're dealing with, their ability for tolerance and patience is significant. You know, it's many times when they think that the executives are in the ivory tower and are unaware of some of their challenges that a lot of times they get disenchanted. And so even though an executive may need to execute a different initiative, just knowing from the sales force that they may think there's some other things of priority, giving that executive a chance to say, hey, JR and sales guys, I see what you're seeing. I hear what you're saying. I need to execute over here over the next 90 days. You know, we're not unaware of what you're telling us. I need you to get behind this, but we're going to address the concerns you have. At least when you have that opportunity for a dialogue, you know, people will stay on board with you. And the opposite of that, Tom, is I've also seen initiatives where if the executive was going to strong arm it, which they can, the results they were going to get were not going to be nearly as positive if they stepped back a little bit and said, hey, you know, my team's not ready for this May 1st. I need to get beside them, address the things that they're suffering with right now, and then we'll relaunch this all on the same page September 1st, and my results will be that much better.
Much more strategic reasoning than just jamming the next initiative down the pipeline.
Yeah. Correct.
So what, JR, what size of organizations can best leverage this assessment?
Well, it's organizations that can get the most out of it are the largest organizations where, you know, with, you know, 20, 50, 200 salespeople, where it's really impractical for them to try and talk with each salesperson in any type of fashion that's timely and doesn't have prejudice and bias built in. You know, we can have salespeople, you know, sit down for, you know, it's about a 30-minute assessment. It's not 3 hours, but it's not 3 minutes. And at the end of that, we can compile the results and present them back to the executive within days, again, not weeks or months. And likewise, if there's a sales manager wakes up on Saturday morning and has this, you know, knot in their stomach because something's wrong and they can't quite put their finger on it, the questions that we ask or the statements that we ask in the assessment in these different categories can many times be used by them on Monday morning to plot a different strategy and execute it on their own, you know, first thing the following week.
Mm-hmm. And it would just take months and months and months to get that kind of input, and someone would have to figure out the questions to ask, so it would be a huge initiative.
Right, and most of the time, as I tell people, you know, if you sat down, you might think of 50% of the statements that we ask, you'll never think of 100% until you've done it yourself, you know, the hundreds of times that we already have.
And on the smaller scale, so obviously it's for a larger sales organization, what would be sort of a minimum that you think would make sense to do it for of a team? What's the smaller? So I get an idea of the range of people who could benefit from this.
Well, you know, I've had a number of sales managers and CEOs of, you know, 25 people companies take this to really give them a blueprint of how they should be building their sales organization, their marketing organization. At the same time, if you have 5 to 7 people and you're counting on them, you know, to produce your revenue for the year, you know, getting them to sit down and go through the assessment can still give you a lot of feedback as to whether the things you see are the same things they see, and fixing those sooner rather than later is always going to increase revenue opportunities.
Mm-hmm. It's clear from this discussion that this could be a huge value for someone that's looking at their sales force and improving and growing. But the question that always comes to mind if anyone is evaluating a tool, what might be the return of investment on sales baseline?
Oh, great question, Tom. You know, it's going to vary, you know, based upon the individual circumstances. But I would tell you, they're going to be looking at a 20 to 50 times return over a period of, you know, 3 to 12 months. And that return really comes from the fact that the clients that I've worked with and studied, very few have more than 50% of their sales staff above 100% of their sales quota. And when you look at the gap in performance between those B and C players, those people at, you know, 80, 85% and 100%, literally adds up to millions and millions of dollars. And if we can narrow that, which we can, you know, just a few percentages, you know, the return on investment from the price of the sales baseline will return, you know, a 20, 30, 40 times return. And here's the beauty of it. It returns it year over year, because when you fix things organizationally, that means the newer people joining the company benefit from that. It means the people that are staying continue to benefit from that. So the reason I like to fix the sales organizations is that when you fix them, you keep getting more and more return for that original investment, if you will, in sales baseline.
And you get return by also deciding what's the most important thing to fix. And being a sales trainer, I like to think it's always a training issue, but that brings us back to the title of this episode, which is let's make sure we know why the sales suck before we invest a lot of time and money with fixes.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on today, and I want to tell the listeners that they can go to salesbaseline.com, and you have some nice webinars available and some good presentations so they can get a clear idea if this is something for them. Thank you, JR.
Thank you, Tom.